The roller coaster ride that has been the West Virginia Mountaineers 2021 season is almost over, and it will officially end after a bowl game. So West Virginia does have a bowl game in store, as they will appear in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Some may remember this as the Cactus Bowl. Some may remember this as the Cheez-It Bowl or the old Cheez-It Bowl, since there's a new Cheez-It Bowl. I'm a fan of Cheez-Its. We don't have a Cheez-It sponsor. Neither does this bowl game any longer. And I am here to preview this game for WV Sports Now. And of course, here on Pittsburgh Sports Live, as we are going to be joined by somebody who covers West Virginia's opponent in this game to give you Mountaineer fans a perspective from the other side as he covers the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Got to have that golden as part of the moniker as well there. Andy Greeter, a sports writer with the St. Paul Pioneer Press, will join me. Of course, I'm Mike Oste here on PSL and WV Sports Now. So first off, Andy, I appreciate you taking the time. And I imagine this is a bowl game that maybe some Minnesota fans, like Mountaineer fans, are looking forward to, but maybe some hoping for more this year. Kind of two teams that are in the same situation in many respects as maybe you normally would get with bowl games like this. I wish we were dining on Cheez-Its right now, but nonetheless, we're going to talk about the Guaranteed Rate Bowl.
Yeah, you forgot about the Insight Bowl era, right, of this bowl game.
That's,
you
know, way
who could,
back.
Who could forget about that glorious, right, time? The Gophers played in that, I think, a few times in the mid-2000s. Yeah, Cheez-It, okay, would be a much better sponsor, I think, than,
right,
the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. I don't think that's going to be something that fans are going to always remember, that they play in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. But
yeah, it is harder to remember. I don't know if any of your research you've noticed, but it actually, when you dive into the bowl, and yeah, Insight Bowl, and it was, yeah, a Cactus Bowl. West Virginia actually appeared in the Cactus Bowl back in 2017, I believe the last year of it being the Cactus Bowl. It actually has the disclaimer, you're right now looking at the formerly Cheez-It Bowl in Arizona, but then there's a Cheez-It Bowl in Florida. So it's all kinds of confusing, but currently it's the, yeah, Guaranteed Rate Bowl as it stands. We'll stop giving Cheez-Its their unjust plugging. Again, Andy Greeter here, sports writer with the St. Paul Pioneer Press, as he will join me to discuss the Guaranteed Rate Bowl between Minnesota and West Virginia. So to get things started here, Andy, Minnesota, a team that's 8-4, second in, yeah, in the Big Ten West, certainly a solid conference, certainly a competitive conference, being second in the Big Ten West, certainly a positive season, you'd imagine, for most teams with what you're dealing with in front of you. Although Minnesota did deal with a pretty bad loss earlier in the season to Bowling Green, so it's been bumpy for Minnesota as well. What would you say this season has been for Minnesota on maybe a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being a negative bad year, 10 being a really positive year? I mean, last year, 4th in the Big Ten West, obviously that was a dip from the year before, but some maybe want to give teams a mulligan with that really truncated COVID season. Minnesota's won 4 straight bowl games. They're in another one here. It's a solid year, I'd imagine. I've actually even heard from some Minnesota fans when this bowl game was initially announced, they felt even insulted that West Virginia was the opponent, because West Virginia, let's face it, has had a worse year than Minnesota. So I even saw some Minnesota fans feeling like they should have got a better opponent. I don't know how that will go over on the Mountaineer side, but how would you rate this year for Minnesota?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think it's maybe in the 6 or 7,
okay,
region, just because, you know, they went into the year as one of the most experienced teams in college football, especially on offense. You know, their, right, offensive line is the most experienced in the game. They've got veterans, they're maulers up front. They had the Big Ten running back of the year in Mo Ibrahim, and they came out of the gate flying and had a lead on Ohio State at halftime and in the third quarter. And their internal expectations of competing for a Big Ten West championship and maybe going to play the Buckeyes again was,
yeah,
very much there. And then Mo ruptures his Achilles, and that's kind of the first of dominoes they had at that running back position. And yeah, you mentioned the Bowling Green game. That's a stink that they have not been able to wash off, and they'll continue to have that on them throughout this year, just because of how damaging that was to, yeah, this team. You know, they bounced back from that and won 4 straight in the Big Ten, and things were looking on their way up. And you know, they had an arch rival in Iowa in 2 weeks, and then they laid an egg against the Illinois team that has a first year coach in Brett Bielema. And it was kind of shadows and hearkening back to what happened against Bowling Green. And then they go to Iowa and they lose that one. And, you know, PJ Fleck has never beat Iowa. That's, like I said, one of the arch rivals. So anytime that you don't get the 90-pound bronze pig, the Florida Rosedale, it's always disappointing.
You got to enjoy that one, yeah.
For Gopher fans. But then they bounce back and beat Indiana. And then, you know, they needed some help to be able to get to the Big Ten championship game. They needed, you know, four-way tie to kind of shake things up and get there. And they did their part. They beat Wisconsin. That's always, like I said, with Iowa, when you get Paul Bunyan's axe and you go 8-4, that's always a good season.
You wish you had the axe to cut up the pig, though, and be able to enjoy
exactly.
The pig.
Yeah, right, you got to butcher the pig somehow, right? You need the axe to do it.
Right.
So the fact that, you know, they had expectations of competing for the Big Ten West and they fell short of that. And fans remember the fact that they went 11-2 and went to the Outback Bowl 2 years ago.
Right.
And that kind of set a bar high for this program. And obviously you mentioned the COVID year. So to not quite have the same kind of success that they had in 2019, I'd probably say a 6 or a 7, just knowing that, you know, they will look at that Iowa game, they'll look at that Illinois game, and obviously the Bowling Green game, and wish they had them back.
Yeah, and to also be fair to the 2020 year, maybe a mulligan for everybody involved here. The Mountaineers actually had an improved season that year, and some could argue dipped a little bit in terms of the climb, and we fell backwards this season, which is why they're here. But no guaranteed rate bowl in 2020. So the bowl shuffling and the confusion of 2020 and all that chaos actually led to this bowl not actually being played. Andy Greeter here joining me, sports writer at the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We're talking the guaranteed rate bowl, Minnesota and your West Virginia Mountaineers here on Pittsburgh Sports Live and WV Sports Now, West Virginia Sports Now. Now, Andy, how did this team get over that Bowling Green loss and get better? Because, yes, it's been a bumpy road, but they're coming off of a big win over Wisconsin, who maybe entering the year maybe was overrated for some, but they certainly got better as the year progressed. Iowa, you mentioned, being a game that they have yet to be able to conquer. However, Iowa having a special year for 70% of this season, so not too bad of a loss. How did Minnesota get this thing turned around? Because while that loss is going to stick out like a sore thumb, it wasn't something that ruined the year.
No, it wasn't. And I think, you know, they've relied on their defense all year. You know, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. That's been consistent throughout the year. You know, besides the fact that Ohio State gashed them early on in the opener,
right?
They've been really good throughout the rest of the year. You know, one of the best scoring defenses, one of the best total defenses. They're great against the run.
Okay.
They've been really consistent, and I think it's going to be a real challenge for West Virginia's offense to get past them. They've been consistent. The Gophers have been able – we talked a little bit about the running game, and they lost all Big Ten running back. They lost their number 2. They lost their number 3. All three of those guys went down with season-ending injuries. Yep. So they're on running back 4 or 5. And those guys have been our 4-star freshmen, either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And that, like, they've been running behind that offensive line that I mentioned. And that has been consistent as well for the most part. It's been the passing game. It's been Tanner Morgan in his third full season under center that hasn't been consistent enough. And that's why you see Kirk Shiraka, the offensive analyst at West Virginia last year, back here as the offensive coordinator, because they made a change immediately after the season and didn't renew the contract of Mike Sanford Jr. So he was kind of used as the scapegoat for a passing offense that wasn't very successful. Scapegoat, you know, maybe is a little harsh. I think there's a lot of gray area on where the blame goes with the Gophers passing offense. Tanner Morgan has some, PJ Flex conservative approach has some, you know, the wide receivers had a bad drop rate. They had breakdowns in those losses on the offensive line, and Tanner Morgan was pressured a lot and sacked a lot. So there's a lot of blame to go around in those losses, but Mike Sanford Jr. had to fall on the sword, and that's why Kirk Shiraka is back here after 2 years away. Like I said, it was the passing game. It was the inconsistencies there. Their number one wide receiver was injured for that Bowling Green game. He was hobbled with an ankle injury for most of the year, and they didn't have consistency with pass catchers. So the passing game is the answer, and there's a lot of ways to slice that up, and that's why it wasn't a better year for the Gophers.
Yeah. And just looking at the schedule too, I mean, I watched the Minnesota Golden Gopher football this year, and obviously not as much as you, but it almost seems like when Minnesota's clicking, they can really click. But when they're not, you're looking at 14-6 against Illinois. And I also experienced covering that game that they had against Penn State and how their offense can struggle at times and the weirdness of that one, but 14-6 against Illinois. So similar without all the overtimes. And then you know, the Bowling Green game that we mentioned. So it can get really good. It can get really bad. You know, it also can segue into some keys of this game, because you mentioned what Minnesota can do as a defense, and you mentioned potentially the issues they may have at quarterback, which Mountaineer fans have certainly dealt with some inconsistency with Jared Daigie, even though his Big 12 numbers are right up there at the top this year and kind of a different year for the Big 12. Big 12, not what it used to be, but he's certainly been up and down. I mean, they've had games with only a field goal in terms of their offensive output as well. And Letty Brown, who was the superstar running back entering this season, a great year last year, 1,000 yards last year, struggled most of this year, and then is looking ahead beyond this bowl game. So what are the keys for you for this matchup here between Minnesota and West Virginia? And I guess the question then will be, if Minnesota wins this game, what do you think occurred? And if West Virginia wins this game, which I think it's safe to say would probably be an upset. I don't have a Vegas line in front of me here. We're still a little bit of ways away. I would say that's probably safe to say Minnesota a little better of a year than West Virginia this year. Mm-hmm. What do you think occurred if West Virginia does take this victory? They are coming off of a bowl win last year. Minnesota, four consecutive bowl victories in their last four appearances prior to this one, even though last year not the way they wanted that season to go.
Yeah, I think a line that I saw was Gophers -4. I haven't looked in the last week or so.
And that's
so
going to fluctuate, I'd imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it since, but that's kind of where I think it kind of opened. I think, you know, like I mentioned at the top, like the Gophers defense has been really strong all year, especially against the run. And without Letty Brown, I think that, you know, there's going to be an opportunity to just kind of make them one-dimensional, potentially. I can see that being something.
Yeah.
I don't know where the depth is at the running back spot, but just seeing Letty's numbers, it shows me that he was kind of the number
one. Yeah, I mean, there was a clear divide. I mean, he was a clear number one, and the offensive line also struggled most of the beginning of the year, which is why you see those numbers having dipped from where he was even last year. So West Virginia does have a bit of a weaker offensive line. They do have Mathias Jr. and others who imagine will step in. And Daigie is a quarterback that he has veteran experience now. He has had games where he can throw yards, led the conference, but if I would imagine if Minnesota makes this a one-dimensional game and they force him to beat them throwing, there's certainly the opportunity for mistakes by Daigie as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think, you know, just given the Gophers' rush rate, you know, they rush the ball 70% of the time, I'd imagine they're going to want to do that again. It looks like West Virginia is, you know, pretty good nationally against the run, which
defensive line wise for the last couple of years
so I think that, you know, would be interesting to see if they're able to take the Gophers out of their running game, which is, like I said, been their bread and butter, and force them to pass the ball and see what Tanner Morgan can do, because we've seen them struggle at times when that has been what's needed to be done. So I think if West Virginia wins the game, I think they, you know, are able to stop the run and force Tanner Morgan to beat him with his arm, and we'll see if that's possible. You know, we saw some more wrinkles, some more creativity in the Gophers passing game as the season wore on. I think fans lament that they didn't see it earlier. So with a bowl game and Kirk Ciarrocca back in the building and Matt Simon, who's a co-offensive coordinator, and just seeing the creativity that they had in the Outback Bowl a couple of years ago when Ciarrocca left and they had a month, and Matt Simon had a few weeks to be able to prepare. I think we saw, you know, more creativity, more layers in the passing game, a little bit of trick plays as well. So we might see that as well. So maybe it isn't as such a Achilles heel as it has been at times this year, the Gophers passing game. So I don't know. I really question, just given how lights out the Gophers have been defensively. I just think if they're able to play at that same way that they were, it could be tough for West Virginia.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a favorable matchup for West Virginia by any means. Here, the Mountaineers will take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl here, joined by Andy Greeter, sports writer at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, to preview this game. And as you're mentioning, you may see trick plays. This yeah. is a bowl game, so you want to be in a bowl game. It's better than not being in one. West Virginia had to fight for their lives to even get here. You want those extra weeks of practice, and it is about building the program for something better if it is a bowl game, say, on this level. Before we get our official predictions here, I do want to also ask you, because when you get bowl games like this and you have two teams that maybe they've had a win or two that they can be happy about, you mentioned the Wisconsin victory for Minnesota to kind of cap things off and get into this bowl game on a high note. West Virginia had a big win in a rivalry reborn over Virginia Tech earlier in the year, even though the Hokies then went on a bit of a losing streak afterwards. So West Virginia kind of looking for that big win still as well for Neil Brown. But you're looking to have better in the future. These programs are both looking to improve. The practice is about trying to figure things out and improve as well. So PJ Fleck's been there since 2017. And you mentioned a couple years ago, the special season that landed them in the Outback Bowl, only a couple losses that year, I believe, last year dipping off. And then this year you get to a bowl game, but certainly a bad loss here or there. Feels like it could have been even more this year. And you're in the Big Ten where you're dealing with behemoth teams of Ohio State. There's always the opportunity for Penn State, even though they were down this year. Michigan has taken a while to get back, but certainly back to glory this year in the playoff. And then Iowa, Northwestern, Indiana. These teams have all had special years in recent memory. Maybe Minnesota fans are going to say, you know, if they can, why not us? That could be a perspective out there. But what is the current state of the Minnesota Golden Gophers football program under PJ Fleck? What would you say for a fan or somebody that doesn't follow that program at all would be the perspective of him leading that helm, fans' opinion of him, your thoughts on the future of this program in terms of the roster or even him individually as the head coach here moving forward from the Guaranteed Rate Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, he comes to a program that has been mediocre for about 50 years. So the fact that, you know, they had an 11-win season 2 years ago in PJ Fleck's third year, I think people look at that as, whoa, they popped sooner than maybe people expected them to. So I think that was, kind of a boon and kind of a gravy train, if you will.
Yeah. And then there's positives and negatives of that with the perception. Because then when you do like what happened maybe with West Virginia last year, people are going to say, well, if you have less losses, you had a worse year. Well, you're building from something too.
Yeah, right. So you go from 5-7 to, 7-6 to 11-2, well, then the expectations go up as well. So then you're, oh, wow. So this is a team that it really can compete for the West. And then the COVID year, and they go 3-4 last year. So to come back to 8-4, I think it's considered a pretty nice bounce back. I think that they've got a lot of buy-in. They don't have any players that are opting out from the bowl game. And they have some pretty, respectable likely NFL draft picks.
Yeah, that is rare this year, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. In modern day college football, to not have any is impressive. They've got four key players on offense that are coming back for a sixth season. One of them, and Mo Ibrahim, who's coming back from an injury, and it's probably advantageous for him to do that just for his draft stock going forward. But three other guys that are coming back for their sixth year. So it seems like from a cultural standpoint, there's a lot of buy-in. There's a lot of belief in what they're doing. I'm sure the, internal expectations to win the West will come roaring back again in the off season to kind of keep pushing that level to finally beat Iowa. I think that would be huge for this program. So I think people look at it as trending in the right direction. It's a difficult place to win, right? You're talking about two rivals on, the South and the East that have pretty much owned the conference or owned the division for a long time. And then you also have the fact that, we're sitting here on Monday night and the Vikings are getting ready to play and they run this town, so the perception of Gopher football, they really have to pop in order to get the collective, mood or attention of the community behind them, because it's a Vikings town and it has the other four major sports as well. So there's plenty of other attention that goes elsewhere. So to see them at 8-4, I think it's encouraging to see a bounce back. But to be playing, you know, at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, in a bowl that you're right. like, what? It doesn't have a fruit or a flower or a sugar yeah. or, you know, a Tostitos chip next to it. It doesn't quite have the same or a yeah. Cheez-It next right. to it.
Yeah. At least the Cheez-It.
Yeah, yeah. At least a Cheez-It. Come on.
Right. right.
So yeah, I think it's good. But like I said at the top, like it's a 7-win type of season. You're never going to turn down 8 when you talk about the historical nature of what this program has done since the mid-60s. But you also see the 11-win season. You see them right on the cusp of going to Indianapolis and playing in the Big Ten Championship and falling short of that. Given the experience that they had, I think, you know, good but not great.
Yeah, and you mentioned the 9 o'clock start time. That's for you. It's 10 yeah, p.m. Right. for yeah. West Virginia fans yeah. who are in that market, as that's East Coast Standard Time. So yeah, that's looking like wrapping up coverage at 2-3 in the morning. but yeah, it could be worse again. You could not be in a bowl game at all. This is a bowl game and something to see for both of these two programs moving forward. Would you say there's any pressure there under PJ Fleck? Because I will tell you from the comparison side, for the flip side, even for your viewers, Neil Brown's only in his third year at West Virginia and came from mid-major program at Troy, but there's already starting to be some pressure. I mean, I've got DMs in the middle of this year, a player jumping off the wagon who then sure. would provide that commentary publicly. So it could be the difference of expectations as well, where Minnesota is in a city and it is in a location that is certainly going to have their mind set on the Vikings and even what the Timberwolves and Twins do. And while West Virginia sure. fans aren't far from Pittsburgh, and a lot of them are Steeler fans, there also are some sure. that are Bengals. I mean, it's split all across the board. It's not a pro area. It's a college town. So that is the sure. number one focus of people down there. That's not the case for Minnesota, as they're fighting to get on the news as well. But maybe that's more pressure for Neil Brown. But for a guy that's not been at West Virginia as long as Fleck's been at Minnesota, maybe mm-hmm. Fleck having that special year a couple years ago has bought him some rope. It sounds like that maybe has bought him some rope. Whereas if I would compare, there's probably more pressure on Neil Brown to not only get a bowl win, but I would say next year with the quarterback position and many others potentially in flux, even though likely Daigie back next year, if Neil Brown picks up a 6-win, 7-win season again next year, despite the athletic program loving him so much, that would turn that hot seat up pretty high to, I'm not sure he would be able to handle that or be able to stay the course if it gets to that pressure. So would you say this pressure on PJ Fleck? He's been there a little bit longer, does have that one special year, but it seems like both programs now are in a similar situation. And even though it's a tough conference, I don't know if Minnesota fans are just going to put up with mediocrity forever. I don't know. Maybe there's a sense of it's certain programs like a Kurt Ferentz at Iowa. Maybe you just handle it for a while and then you get that one special year every 6 years or so. Is there pressure on him, or is he able to kind of ride under the radar because of the situation in the market and because of, maybe it sounds like the fan base kind of understands the program, it's almost never going to be Ohio State, so you got to take it with a grain of salt too.
Yeah, I think, like I said, people think that it's moving in the right direction, right? I think okay. this is an 8-win team. He got a 7-year contract extension in October. Right. his seat that's overall nice. is pretty calm. It's structured in a way like most of these deals are yeah. that it's really like a 2-year contract
and right
2 years we're going right. to be talking about another extension, just right. how it's structured. I think it was interesting because obviously the Bowling Green loss was on the resume yeah. But they had won, I think, four straight Big Ten games to start Big Ten play, the resumption of it. And overall, I think they were at 6-2 at the time.
Okay.
So he got the contract extension, and there were a lot of people howling about it, saying, why are we giving him a contract extension in the middle of the year? They've lost a Bowling Green.
When you said October, the timing immediately popped to me that was odd timing.
Yeah, for sure. So why are they doing this so soon? Right. We've got Bowling Green. We still haven't played Iowa and Wisconsin. The season can go in another direction pretty quickly. But I think when you look at it, they like the direction that he's going in. Won 11 games 2 years ago, ended up winning 8 this year. And you saw all of the craziness in the coaching carousel that once things started to develop in November,
right.
there was no doubt about where PJ was at and where he was going to be. And he could focus on, you know, the recruiting class and the general direction of the program, and the donors could rest comfortably that he's here. So it was not like, because his name has come up a number of times. It came up for Tennessee last year. It came up for Florida State 2 years ago. He's a young coach. He took a Western Michigan program from 1-11 to 13-1. He won 11 games at Minnesota. He's 40 years old. He's young. He's charismatic. He's got a lot going for him. So his name has come up quite a bit.
And those are, let's face it, step above jobs.
Yeah, you could definitely say that.
I mean, you know, Florida State's down right now. Tennessee's not near the glory of the 90s, but you could make an argument there's a step above jobs. Maybe he doesn't feel that way based on when he was offered those jobs, but you can make that case.
Yeah, so his name has come up, and there's been pensiveness around the program to hear that. So to have this coaching cycle happen when he was not mentioned for anything throughout it, I think was a good thing for fans to have to not have to deal with that, if it was true or not, or if it was rumor mill or actually substantiated. I think they like the direction of the program. They gave him a contract extension. His seat is pretty comfortable. Right. I think if they come out and have a good showing against West Virginia, things will be just fine for him going into next year and even into 2023.
Yeah, and then if he turns it around and has another special year, maybe his name will get brought up again, and then Minnesota fans will have to wipe foot up.
We got to do another contract extension, and another bigger buyout, and you know, another raise, and all of those kinds of things. So yeah, that's how it goes. That's how it's structured, and you kind of bet on yourself a little bit, and try to figure out where it goes in a couple of years. That's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, and these two programs are similar in the respect of they're certainly historically solid programs. There's history there. There's great players there. You did mention, obviously, a 50-year kind of trek into the wilderness for Minnesota. But overall, if you look into history, there's been some solid play, granted, way, way, way back there. But even the special year of a couple years ago. So these are programs that it's not a bad job by any means, but they're not destination jobs. There are other jobs that if these coaches have continuous special years, they might be promoted to from somebody out there around the country. So that's out there, that's real, and that's something to think about if this would go one way for Minnesota. You know, West Virginia fans, maybe if it would go one way for Neil Brown, but I think he needs to focus on actually climbing right now, because a definition of a climb is actually going up. So we'll see if that actually occurs. It also does sound like that maybe PJ Fleck and Neil Brown might be able to hang out and have some fun together leading up to this bowl game, because they are similar in age. They have similar resumes. They're getting here at similar programs to this point. They probably could learn a thing or two from each other. Mm-hmm. PJ may be a little bit more charismatic than Neil Brown, who's kind of everyone's best friend, but you know, they might be able to go out together and enjoy themselves. Two similar coaches. It's not a catastrophic different situation where you have a 35-year-old or 40-year-old and then he's facing off against some 70-year-old in his final year. These are two similar programs, similar head coaches here. Yeah. So Andy Greeter here, sports writer at the St. Paul Pioneer Press, joining me here as we previewed Minnesota and West Virginia in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, even though we both, I think, would prefer this to be the Cheez-It Bowl, at least to be able, I'm going to enjoy Cheez-Its nonetheless. But what's your pick for this game? Minnesota, West Virginia, you mentioned Minnesota, a little bit of a favorite in this game. They had a little bit better of a year and a little tougher of a conference. But West Virginia's had their moments. They certainly do have a defensive line that no matter who's there, even with Darius Stills gone from a year ago and trying to get in the NFL, they also maybe have a line that could pose problems for exactly what Minnesota wants to do. So maybe this is a bad matchup for West Virginia, but maybe this is also a bad matchup for Minnesota, possibly. What's your pick?
Yeah, we'll see. I looked up the line while we were talking. It's 4.5 minus the Gophers. So it hasn't moved very much since I saw it open.
Okay.
You know, I hope that it's close. I hope the fans are able to be entertained by it. I do think the Gophers will cover. Let's go with 28-21.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if it's in that neighborhood. I also wouldn't be shocked if West Virginia would even get blown out in this game. But when you have a game like this, you do kind of want it to be an entertaining close game. And both teams are using this week or so of practice to potentially get funky as well as look on to the future. So who knows what we'll see in this game. And if you're going to stay up late and either fan perspective and watch this game, you do want to be entertained. Andy, I appreciate the time. And we'll both be enjoying this Guaranteed Rate Bowl, and we will see how long it is called the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. So maybe at some point in the future we can reflect that we covered the Guaranteed Rate Bowl, which then will become something else and it'll get forgotten like the Insight Bowl, as you mentioned there, early late 90s, early 2000s during the dot-com boom. They had a bowl game. I don't know if anyone remembered that until you made that comment, but I appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, you made me hungry for some Cheez-Its, so I'm going to have to get a snack in here tonight.
Yeah. What's your favorite flavor of Cheez-It?
Ooh, man, I'm certainly showing myself to not be a big Cheez-It guy.
Okay.
Probably just the original, you know, the original
Cheez-It. Okay. It is one of my favorite snacks, I will admit. I kind of like the extra toasty. The original are nice, but the extra toasty, I don't mind the other ones as well, but I think the extra toasty are my favorite, although my wife hates that version. But Andy, I appreciate the time, man. Have a good night.
Yeah, it's fun.